From CITI Program, I'm Darren Gaddis, and this is On Campus. Today, we discuss the importance of supporting student mental health, what institutions and faculty members can do, and how to create a community of care. I spoke with Amy Gatto, the Director of Research and Evaluation at Active Minds. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to provide legal advice or guidance. You should consult with your organization's attorneys if you have questions or concerns about relevant laws and regulations in this podcast. Additionally, the views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the presenter. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Darren. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. Today, we are going to be talking about mental health and, more specifically, how to support student mental health needs on campus and why it is such a timely and important topic.
Great. I'm excited to be here to talk about student mental health.
Mental health and care have always been important topics. However, it seems like we have been hearing more and more about the importance of student mental health recently, especially on social media and news outlets. What has caused the increase in need for student mental health recently?
So if we take a step back, we know that over the past decade, even a little longer than that, we have seen increases in both the severity and the prevalence of mental health needs among college students. We're seeing more students come to institutions of higher education with diagnosed mental health conditions. We're seeing more students seek treatment. And, you know, when you compound that with a global pandemic, it's interesting that, you know, seeking mental health over the past decade too has started to become normalized. So we're seeing reductions in stigma broadly, although I will say among certain groups, we still see high levels of stigma among certain racial, cultural, ethnic groups. But with a pandemic, more people have realized some of these struggles. People have experienced loneliness. They've experienced grief. And there's been an uptick in interest and I would say the need to prioritize student mental health by campuses.
It sounds like there are plenty of opportunities for institutions to better support their students and improve their existing systems. How can institutions do a better job at supporting their students' mental health needs?
Yeah, so institutions really have this onus to support students holistically, and part of that is their mental health needs. So there's different levels where institutions can provide this support. So starting at, you know, a systems, a policy level, I encourage institutions to look at what they're doing to support student mental health. What do their policies look like? How do they have overall well-being or specifically mental health written into their strategic goals and strategic priorities? What sort of groups do they have working on mental health? You know, addressing student mental health is not just the job of the counseling center or one person on campus. It's creating a campus community where students feel supported. So look at those high levels, establish task forces, elevate students' voices in those meetings. And then, you know, on a treatment-specific level, ensuring that there are people to support student mental health. So that might be clinicians on campus who are representative of the student population or providing referrals off campus to clinicians with who have identities with which students might identify. And then, or maybe it's telehealth services. So students can access mental health treatment or support across 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when maybe they aren't going into an actual physical counseling center, and then starting to normalize the conversation on campus about mental health. So training faculty and staff to look for signs and symptoms, encouraging students to ask one another. So one program that we have at Active Minds, which we're a national mental health nonprofit supporting the mental health of youth and young adults, is our VAR program.
Really thinking about the structure of an institution, and when I specifically think about supporting students, faculty members are one of the key roles at an institution where students interact with them almost on a daily basis. What can faculty members do to address and support student mental health needs on their campus?
Yeah, Darren, you know, I think you said it perfectly. When you think of institutions and the way they're structured, you know, faculty are a key component of this. So, you know, faculty have multiple levels. When we think of this, faculty typically have very consistent contact with students on campuses. So whether you're seeing students in class or, you know, it's an online class and you're just interacting with students in that way. So big things faculty can do are understanding any sort of warning signs or changes in behavior. Those could prompt the faculty to reach out, to make a referral to a behavior intervention team, even identifying problematic languages in assignments. Having the wherewithal to recognize that it's problematic and reach out, be proactive to the student. So there's that recognition piece. There's also awareness of resources on campus. So making sure that as a faculty member, you know what services are provided and you're promoting them to students. Now, this can look different for each faculty member. One, in my opinion, easy, low-lift way to do this is to include a statement on your syllabi about, you know, supporting student mental health, here are resources, having an open door policy, encouraging students to come talk to you. Or if that doesn't meet your level of comfort, you know, sharing these other resources with students. We have a guide, Creating a Culture of Caring, that's just for faculty and staff on college and university campuses. And it outlines ways that they can support student mental health from the moment a student would arrive in their classroom and how they can, you know, assess students' mental health, but also how they can have these conversations. Again, normalizing conversations about mental health, embedding well-being prevention activities into their coursework, and then making appropriate referrals when necessary to support a student because they do have so much interaction with them.
You kind of spoke about this earlier, but thinking about all of the resources on a campus to address student mental health needs, students come to mind. How can students support each other's mental health needs and create a community of care?
Yeah, students are one of the greatest assets on college campuses. So students can do multiple things. One, there's that piece, you know, the training, validate, appreciate, refer that I just spoke about. Students can be trained on that and having these normalized conversations. Students can share their mental health experience, right? Encouraging others to seek help. They can start an Active Minds chapter on their campus, right? So Active Minds, we were started on college campuses, and we really do focus on improving the mental health climate and changing the conversation there. Other things students can do are work to make sure that the campus community is supportive of student mental health, or even, you know, all members' mental health, faculty, staff, administrators, by looking at changing policies. So at Active Minds, we have two resources that I want to touch on. One is the Seats and Steps framework. And that really, it's twofold. One, it encourages students to start to advocate and provides them with tips on the way that they can advocate for mental health on their campus. What does that mean? What does it look like? And then the other part of it is for faculty and staff and administrators to offer students seats at the table, right? How can they leverage their student experience, that lived experience, to change policy. The other part of it is our Transform Your Campus campaign. And so that really looks at how can we make the campus community more supportive of student mental health from a policy perspective. So doing things like adding crisis numbers to student ID cards. During the pandemic, I've heard of another institution, you know, as QR codes became popular, where they added QR codes to their student IDs that link to a website of all campus mental health supports. But other campuses just have a crisis number, right? So a student always has with them a number where they can call if they're in mental health crisis. And what it's showing to students is, you know, as an institution, your mental health is important to us. It's so important to us that we're going to give you this resource on this thing that every person on this campus has. So that's an example of one of those policy changes.
Today, we spoke a lot about institutions, faculty members, and even what students could do to support the mental health needs of other students and build a community of care. But what can we all do to support our own mental health through the principle of self-care?
Yeah, you know, this can be tricky. It can be tricky to improve your own self-care and mental health. And really, it differs for each person. So there is this idea of self-care, of doing things that you enjoy, that ground you, that settle you, that allow you to take a step back, right? And that might be being in nature, watching your favorite Netflix show, talking with a friend. It also might be, you know, recognizing when you're struggling, which can be challenging, and seeking professional help, right? Going, talking to someone who's trained in supporting mental health. So there's a wide variety of things, but, you know, whenever I'm working with students or other professionals in the field, it's really acknowledging what you're experiencing. Has there been a change? And then can you start doing more of the things that you enjoy? And if those things aren't helping ground you or make you feel better, well, maybe it's time to go talk to a professional who can help you manage your mental health or any sort of struggles that you're going through.
Amy, what else do we need to know?
Let's see. That's such a good question. So, you know, I think some of the top things that we need to know is students want to be in places where their whole self is supported. And part of that is their mental health. So when we as institutions of higher education think about supporting student mental health, it really is taking a holistic approach. What is the student experience? What do they need? Listening to our students, letting them advocate for change, or just including them in the conversation and asking them their perspective. Our students, like you said, are one of the biggest stakeholders on college campuses and in institutions of higher education, and we should continue to bring them into the conversation to create lasting change. So, you know, I think that's one huge piece that we know. And then I think there's this other piece of we're navigating this new normal, right? You know, higher ed today doesn't look the same as it looked 5, 10, 15 years ago. And so how do we adapt and change and make sure that we're supporting mental health during those changes? It will be very interesting to see what the incoming cohorts look like who've had a couple years of remote instruction, have had changes in their social connection, in the way that they talk about mental health, the way that they treat mental health. And so as we acknowledge that, continuing to build systems that support students where they are, knowing that we all went through this shared experience of change, and moving forward, there's still a sense of unknown.
Amy, thank you for joining me today. It has been a pleasure.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Darren. I really appreciate it.
Be sure to follow, like, and subscribe to On Campus with CITA program to stay in the know. I also invite you to review our content offerings regularly, as we are continually adding new courses and webinars that may be of interest to you. All of our content is available to you anytime through organizational and individual subscriptions. You may also be interested in CITI Program's Become an Effective Leader course. Please visit the CITI Program's website to learn more about all of our offerings.